Thank you. You know, what he's actually saying is that he's a better harasser than me. And I don't accept that. How are you out there? Well, I'm loving it being here. I always do. And I want to thank all of you that are part of this church for the love and the prayers. I'm sorry, but I'm not used to these lights, so I'm just, my eyes are trying to get adjusted, and as soon as they get adjusted to the light, I turn this way, and then it's dark over there. So, I appreciate you. Our work in the Philippines, of course, is dear to my heart, but I know it's also dear to Pastor John and Michelle and to the staff here, and it must be very dear to you all because your prayers and your offering, they help us so much. Every month, every year, and this is the 29th year that I've had a ministry in the Philippines, and looking forward to next year, 30 years. It's a good milestone, and it's a good opportunity to give God glory, to celebrate. All right, if you've been in one of my meetings before, and probably some of you have not, you know that the Lord uses me. He has been for some many years now, and I hope he continues to. He uses me in some of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You ought to read that chapter. It's really exciting. And from the time that I got saved, I didn't get saved till I was 39, but from the time that I got saved, I just read that chapter, and I wanted so much for God to use me, just in a small way, because at 39, I figured my life was over. And now I'm 72, and it's still not over. Amen. All right. Anyways, I have some words of knowledge tonight for conditions in your bodies, and that's the way the gift of the word of knowledge usually operates in the ministry God has given me. It's usually about healing or situations in your body. It's not prophesying over anybody or telling you your future. You know, it's simply words that God gives me about your needs, and then I lay hands on you after the message and you receive. What could be easier? Amen. And then, of course, once you receive, you need to stand in faith to keep a hold on that you have received, and to stand against any attacks that might come in the future, because one victory doesn't mean the war is over. Amen. How many of you have ever been healed? How many of you have ever been sick more than once? See what I mean? It is, you know, he's against us. The enemy is against us, but God has given us so many ways to receive what Jesus did on the cross, which is salvation and healing. So I'm just going to call out these words, and then after I call them all out, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and wave it at me if one of these words is for you. And then you've already begun to receive, because with the raising of your hand, you're saying, that's mine. Isn't that simple? See, I'm very simple. Amen. I teach a lot with interpreters in the Philippines, and so you have to keep your words and your phrasing simple, or else the interpreter is liable to get creative on you and just go off in another direction. So here they are. And as I said, you're going to have to recognize them because they don't have your picture by them, at least not in my notebook here. Okay, someone here, maybe, you know, some people get more than one word during a service, and some people, they get just one, but you've got to recognize it if it's for you. So someone, your fingers are very painful and tight and sore, and especially the index finger, the knuckle on the index finger, it's really sore and it throbs at times. Then someone, your shoulder or your shoulders right here on the top of your shoulders, very, very sore, and the pain or the soreness goes deep into the bone. Someone, your thumb, maybe both thumbs, maybe only one, your thumb right around in this area here has a dull aching and it's very sore. I feel like my mic is going in and out when I turn one way. Anybody got a solution? Put it on my shirt. Okay. Now it's on my shirt. Okay. I usually try to do that, but it usually goes cockeyed and then it's just as bad again. But maybe it'll work on this blouse. Okay. Next, the thumb. We had the thumb. All right. Someone, your eye or your eyes. Here comes. I have decided. Oh, I thought you were coming to fix my mic.
Sound good right now.
Come on. No, I'm not, because when I go bop, 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 I hear it go bop, bop, bop. You think it's okay? Well, okay. Here we go. Eyes. See? If you stand way back, it doesn't do it sometimes, but then I can't read the notes. Maybe this one about the eyes is for me, okay? No, this one isn't for me. Somebody's eye or eyes, they are very painful and sore, especially at the corners of the eye, and they feel very dry sometimes. God wants to free you of that. There's somebody here who has been experiencing dizziness, and sometimes you feel like you're real wobbly. There is someone here that you've been experiencing fear. And it's really, most fear is unreasonable, but this is very unreasonable. And it just almost never leaves you, and it's hindering you from living your life. God wants to set you free from that fear tonight. Now, I got two words for knees. The first one I got was pain and swelling in one knee, and it was on the outside. The worst pain was on the outside of the knee. And then toward the end of the praise and worship, I got for another knee, and it was pain on the inside of your leg on the knee. So either one of those is for you. God wants to heal that. There's a lady here, or maybe more than one, that's been having female problems. And if you're a lady, you know what that means. That's code. Okay? That's code for ladies. All right. Someone, you have a problem with your ear or your ears. There's a fullness in your ears a lot of the time, and it throbs. And sometimes you feel like a sharp jab in the ear. Someone, your arms, your upper arms here, both of them, the muscles are aching and sore. Let's see. Someone, your elbow. Boy, you're a real sick bunch. You know that. I'm only kidding. Sometimes I get two pages like this for a church that has 25 people, so don't feel condemned at all. Okay, we're having fun, aren't we? Okay. Your elbow is very sore and a little swollen. Someone, I believe it's your right hip. It's like a cramping back here in your hip, and sometimes it's a pain like a knife into your hip. And the pain sometimes goes over to the middle of your back. So I know that must be very uncomfortable, so I know that you're going to be glad to get free of that tonight. Someone, your neck, it's mainly in the back. It's very sore. There's pressure and tightness, and it goes down into your shoulders. Not all the way down, just, see? Not all the way down. Just a little bit. That won't happen again because I won't put my arms up like that again. All right. Headaches. Maybe some of this noise the mic is making is giving you a headache. Someone is having penetrating pain in their head, and it's from this across, and the pain goes all the way across, and noise or bright light makes it worse. Okay. There's a couple here. And you need to be married, that you long to have a child. I mean, you may already have children, but you want a child, or maybe you haven't been able to have any children. It's really a very special, special thing I've prayed for several hundred people over the last 29 years, and they've been able to have children, most of them within 9 or 10 months. But I want to tell you a very sad story. Not one of them has named that child after me. That's true. And one person had a boy, and I said, why didn't you name him after me? And they said, Wanda? I said, Wando? That's a true story. It's a very painful story, but it's a true story. Okay, someone, your big toe or toes are very sore. Now, this comes and goes, but it's not like a blister or something like that. It doesn't get well. It just goes for a while, and then it comes back. Someone, your gums, it may be upper and lower, or it may just be the upper. They're very sore and tender. This is a woman. Someone, your hair has been coming out, and it's really, really got you very upset. God wants to heal that condition tonight. And then someone, I believe that you suffer from insomnia. It's very hard for you to get to sleep, and it's hard for you to stay asleep. And if one of these words is for you, now I want you to think about it. I didn't give too much detail because I gave you what God gave me. If one of those words or more was for a condition in your body, would you just wave at me so I know how much time I need to leave? Okay, praise the Lord. I am going to give a short message because I believe it's important for you to hear the word and then to act on the word. I like to teach people about positioning themselves to receive. See, Jesus has already done all he's going to do. He did it on the cross. He saved us from our sin, and by his stripes we were healed. Already done. It's a past tense. But not all of us are in a position to receive. You know, when you're not feeling good, when you're ill, you want to be well. Isn't that true? I mean, most people want to be well. I think there might be some conditions where people getting attention and getting taken care of and maybe being fearful of being independent and having to rely on themselves. That might be a reason why some might not really want to be healed. But most people, they want to be well. They want to be able to live their lives. And you have to be in a position to receive what God has already done for you. I like to use the illustration that you might have a vault full of treasure in Switzerland, but if you're in Philadelphia, you're not in a position to access that treasure. Amen? So God's word shows us how to receive. It shows us principles and truths and spiritual laws that will help us to get in a position to receive. And I believe that the word of God is so powerful that it can help us to walk in health. You know, it's wonderful to be healed, but it's better to walk in health. Amen. So tonight I have a message that I believe is going to help you. It always helps me when I read this passage of scripture and when I think about what God did. So would you please, I don't know, do you have your scriptures up on the, huh? Too bad you didn't bring your Bible. You should bring your Bible, even if they make it easy for you to not bring it, because you're not going to be able to find things when you're not here with that. See, I'm very much against those things because I like to hear those pages rustling. Amen? That's old time talk. I'm an old timer, can't you tell? Hello! Old timer, that means you've been around a long time. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now, if you'll just cooperate with me, we can have fun tonight. Amen. But whether you do or not, I'm going to have fun. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Life is too short not to enjoy what you do. And I love what I do. And even more than preaching and teaching the word of God, I love laying hands on people. I love to touch people and be used as a conduit, as a instrument of the Lord, to have that healing power, that dynamite power of God flow through me. It's not my power, but it flows through me. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Verse 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You know, God does wonderful things. I believe we're going to see some wonderful things done by God tonight. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, we know that Peter and John were a couple of the apostles. We know that they were believers, they were disciples, and they were ministers. They were commanded by Jesus to preach and teach and heal, and they obeyed. They obeyed. And anybody here can do preaching, teaching, and healing. Amen? In Mark 16, Jesus said, and those who believe. Do we have any believers here?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think we're all supposed to be ministers, but not all of us realize that we have the power. Have any of you here, maybe some of you have you ever seen a totally blind person, seen God open their eyes, and they look at you? One older lady that God opened her eyes when I prayed for, I've been ministering to her and laying my hands on her, and she could see a little bit, and then I prayed for her again. And we have it on tape. You can see her eyes. They just, and then she could see. And she reached out her hand, and she said, you. I was the first one she saw. She said, you. Hallelujah. Boy, that's exciting. Don't say you can't do it. If you haven't tried it, you don't know. Amen? Or deaf ears. Or crippled bodies. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm getting off message here. But it's good anyway. I like to encourage people that we are his body. Amen. And we can do what he said we can do. Amen. In John 14, he said, those that believe in me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater works than these. I don't know why I'm going on this kind of a direction, but I'm going to try to get back on this message here. Now, it said that they went to the temple at the hour of prayer. These men, and all men and women of God, they're prayer warriors. Amen. I know that they went to the temple at the hour of prayer to pray with other, you know, believers or other people that believed in prayer. But I also know that the disciples that were in the upper room, they prayed all the time. They prayed in tongues. Amen. They prayed in a heavenly prayer language. And we can do that too, because God can strengthen us and strengthen our, give us boldness when we are people of prayer. So they were going to the temple together. Now that lame man was in a real good spot, because the people that were going in and out were people who believed in prayer. So they must have believed in God, because that's who they were praying to. Amen? It says in verse 4 that they, Peter and John, were in agreement. That is one of the most wonderful principles in the New Testament, the power of agreement. Have you ever done any studying on that? In Matthew 16, you know, Jesus said that he gave his followers the power to bind and to loose. And then in Matthew 18, he said, you know, if you agree on earth as touching anything you shall ask, it shall be done for you. That is power, folks. And a husband and a wife, they have got such power when they can come into agreement. Of course, they've got to come into agreement. And you got to practice that. Isn't that right, Steve? I told him since Pastor John wasn't here, I was going to pick on him. I'm sorry, I kind of forgot, but I won't forget again. You're on my mind, okay? Hallelujah. Well, you know, I didn't get saved to feel bad. Think about that. Hello! I don't know, some of you may be seasoned citizens like me, but you know, as you get older, you just kind of don't care anymore. If you want to say it, you say it. And if it lines up with the Word of God, all the better. Amen. Praise the Lord. There it goes again. I'm just rubbing it in now. I just love being here. And so I'm trying to drag it out, I guess. Listen, in order to live in victory, in order to walk in health, it's really, really important that you hang around with people who are in agreement with the Word of God. Amen. Those, you know, fault finders and doubters and naysayers and all that, leave them in the dust and find people who can agree with you about what God says, because there's such power in agreement. Don't go to a church or listen to some preacher on TV that says God put sickness on you, because that is a lie. It's a lie. It does not agree with what the Word of God says. So it's really important to walk with people who agree with the Word of God, and they can agree with you for your needs and for your dreams. Amen? I was very fortunate when I got saved. I was immediately drawn into a church like this one. And, you know, every week I was the first one that wanted to testify, because God just did such wonderful things in my life. But I know he does them in everybody's life. It's just that I just couldn't wait to tell people. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that was a good report. Thank you for your enthusiasm on that one. Okay, this man that was laying there, you know, he was lame or crippled from his mother's womb. He was born that way. He was a Jew, and he had a covenant with God. In Exodus 16, the Lord revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee, and he made a covenant with the Jews. And this man, he was a Jew. He was entitled to that covenant. He didn't need to be crippled, because God had already provided a way for them to be healed. He had given them his covenant truth that they could go to a rabbi, they could go to one of their religious leaders and be prayed for. But apparently, it was like it is with a lot of Christians now. You have a covenant, but either you don't believe it or you don't know about it. You know, if you're ignorant of what belongs to you, you will not try to claim it. Hello? I really feel sorry for so many people. They're born again. They are children of God, but they're walking so far below what God had planned for us. I want everything that God has for me. Everything. Praise the Lord. So here he is, he's sitting there, he's crippled, and he's asking people for money. As they go into the temple, he's asking them for money. His expectation was very low. Amen. He wasn't asking for a miracle. He's sitting right there outside the temple. But he's asking for money. And I know that money can help in a lot of situations. I mean, I like money. You can't really accomplish very much without money. Amen. Philippine Airlines likes you to pay for their tickets. right? Well, see, now you're all in this with me. I'm not suffering alone. It's me, I know it's me, but I don't know what to do about it, so let's soldier on. All right, his expectation was very low. But it says he looked at them expecting. Woohoo! Hallelujah. That's a good beginning, you know, because Bible hope is very important to receiving, to getting in a position to receive. And Bible hope is not like human hope. You know, human hope is like, oh, I'm a wishing. In the Philippines, they have a word, sana. Oh, sana this, sana that. I wish. No, Bible hope is confident expectation. That's what the Greek word means. Hope, confident expectation. And this man had hope. He looked at them expecting to receive something. I just realized I could be reading it from up there. It's a lot clearer up there than it is up there. See, I didn't know that I had that benefit. And now I'm going to use it. Praise the Lord. He expected to receive something. It says something. Maybe he was, you know, expecting money, or maybe a touch, or maybe a blessing. Pardon me? Oh, did you sneeze? I'm sorry. I thought Steve said something. I'm trying. I'm not very good at this because I haven't known Steve as long as I've known Pastor John. All right, it is Pastor Steve, isn't it? Excuse me. I'm sorry. Depends on the day. Oh, you're one of those kind of Christians. In the Philippines, we call those wishy-washy Christians. Sorry, Pastor Steve. You know, I believe that when people come in a healing line, because usually when I minister, I have a healing line, I believe that that indicates they're expecting to receive something. I believe that indicates that they have hope. And that's a real good start. Because I can believe for your healing or for your miracle. And I know the staff of this church has been believing too. And I know they always believe for you, but they know how I like to pray for people. And so we've all had our expectors out before this meeting. And you do your part, I'll do my part, and God's already done his part. Can you say amen? I'd like to give you an illustration about what happens in our outdoor meetings. We have outdoor meetings in the Philippines. I don't have as many now as I used to have because the Bible school takes up all our resources and a lot of our time. But we used to do, for many, many years, we did outdoor meetings, miracle healing meetings, we called them. And sometimes I'd pray for 1,000 people in a night, and they're all lining up in the heat and the mosquitoes. You know, sometimes it's raining. And they're waiting. And they're waiting in line to be prayed for because they are expecting to receive something. But several times, the Lord, you know, I'll be praying and praying along with people, and the Lord will say, stop, because I pray quickly. If any of you have ever seen me pray, you won't believe this old girl can move that fast. But I can because I'm under a different power when I'm praying for people. And the Lord would say, stop, and ask that one, what did they come for? And it's a little awkward, you know, you kind of put on the brakes and you stop and you're looking at somebody and they got their eyes closed and you say, what do you want God to do for you? And they got their eyes closed, you know, it's like they're in another world, which is okay. But then I have to ask them again and then they still don't know I'm talking to them. So the people that are behind them that are going with me, they'll nudge them on the shoulder and say in the dialect, what did you come for? What do you want God to do for you? And every time I've done that at the insistence of the Lord, these people have just looked at me and they've gone, And so I'll say it again. What did you come for? What do you want God to do for you? Just bless me. And I'll say, what? just bless me. And I know it probably doesn't seem like I'd be the kind of person that could be mean. But it really makes me mad. When people are standing there, maybe for 45 minutes or an hour in the heat or in the rain, or maybe they're in pain, and then you ask them, what did you come here for? And they say, I don't really know, just bless me. Hello. How do you know that you received if you don't know what you came for? How do you know you got it if you don't know what you came for? You follow me? Obviously, they were not expecting anything. They were just in the line, just kind of wishing. And that's not Bible hope. I don't want you to come tonight with that kind of, uncertainty. I want you to believe. I want you to visualize what you're coming for. And I want you to verbalize it. Amen. Say this with me right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, when I come for prayer, anytime, I will know what I want, and then I'll know if I got it. Amen. You know, that doesn't seem like rocket science to me. Amen. So I'd like to encourage people to be in agreement with the Word of God, be in agreement with yourself that you are going to receive. You see, the word receive is present tense. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's now. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is. Hello. I want you to receive tonight. Okay, go back to verse 5 again. So he gave heed. The New King James says he gave them his attention. There's a very important spiritual principle here. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words. Oh, they're slow. Proverbs 4:20. I guess I got to read it from here. Okay. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Or medicine, the margin of the King James Bible, if it's a, good Bible, will say medicine to all their flesh. Faith comes by hearing. You give heed. When you give heed, that means you pay attention. You listen. Amen? When we have these outdoor meetings that I was telling you about, we never take an offering. I believe the gospel is free to the lost. Amen? Well, it's actually free to everybody, but it does cost money to travel and preach. But we have never taken an offering for an evangelistic meeting. And so we have a pattern. We have praise and worship, then I give the word of God, then we have the altar call, and then I pray for the sick. Well, people, they get, they're smart, and they see that you pray for the sick at the end. So they don't come until the end. They wait until they think you're going to be praying for people, and then they come back. They want the healing, but they don't want the healer. They don't want to hear the word of God. And I laugh about it sometimes, but it's not funny. I laugh about the irony. Though we don't charge anything, they're not even willing to pay attention. But you're paying attention tonight, just like this man, and I believe that you're going to receive. See, a few of you are getting it. Some of you said amen. I believe you're going to receive.
Amen.
Amen. When I lay my hands on you, I believe you are going to be received. So he gave heed unto them, which caused expectation to fill his heart. Then Peter said, verse 6, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. As I said before, there are some things that money can really help you. You know, if you're sick and you need medicine or you need to go to the doctor, you need an operation, money can help with that. But there are some things that money cannot change. This man was born this way. No amount of money in the world. He had been sitting there for years and people had been giving him money and he was still crippled. But now here comes somebody who's not offering him money. Peter actually says, silver and gold I don't have. A medical degree I don't have. A magic wand I don't have. But what I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. Oh, there is such power in that name. And see, every one of you, if you know Jesus, you have that name too. He gave that name to us. He gave us his authority in that name. Hallelujah. Oh, you are really excited about this, aren't you? Hallelujah! Well, if I was sitting out there and a dynamic preacher like me was preaching, I'd get with it. I'm so proud I'm humble. Okay. Let me just give you a couple instances that talks about the name of Jesus. In Mark 16, 17 and 18, it said, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Jesus is talking. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Boy, that's pretty declarative, pretty firm. There's not a wiggle in there to get out of it. John 16, 23 and 24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. And that is the day we live in now. You shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You know, if you're blind and you can see because someone used the name of Jesus, your joy is full. Man, that is full joy. If you're crippled, if you're deaf, whatever ailment, if you have heart trouble, whatever it is. The Lord just gave me another word. There is somebody here that has a problem with your heart. And when I call the people up for the words, if you will come, I believe that you will receive. Now, that doesn't mean you stop taking any medication or anything like that, because I'm telling you the truth, but the fact may be that the doctor gave you that medicine and I cannot unprescribe it. You got to go back to him. Hello. This is sensible. This is so that our good is not evil spoken of. You know, don't act like an idiot and call it faith. Because it's not going to change anything if it's not faith. You may just have to go to the hospital in an ambulance or something. I don't tell people not to take medicine because I don't prescribe medicine. I can't tell you not to take it. But if you get a miracle or you get a healing, it'll hold up. You know, the doctor will be able to see it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. That's good preaching, Sister Wanda. I think I'm just going to... My arm isn't long enough, Pastor Steve. I got to really twist, you know? But I'm doing it anyway because I deserve it. All right, John 14, verse 13 and 14. I hope you all know that I'm just kidding. I'm not that wonderful. Just that wonderful. Okay. And, well, you know, in Detroit, that's what they call me, Wonderful Wanda. Amen. I'm from Detroit, you know. I don't apologize for it, but I don't tell many people I am from Detroit either. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, look at that. Or it's still not up there. These people that work that are going to be so upset with me. I apologize. I ask forgiveness in Jesus' name. See, I'm using his name. Okay. He says, verse John 14:14, if you ask anything,
Say anything. Anything in my name, Jesus said. Anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was in Bible school in 1981 and 82, and we were studying the name of Jesus in a big auditorium. It was the whole first year. There were over 1,000 of us. And the teacher was teaching real good, but as he was teaching on this passage, Jesus appeared to me, and you know, I was sitting in the congregation like you are, and he appeared to me right between me and the teacher was up on the platform, and I didn't hear the teacher anymore. I just looked up at Jesus, and he said, "You want to know what he said?" He said to me, "Daughter, if you will do what the Son of Man told you to do, the Son of Man will do what he said he would do." Oh, I got so excited. I'd read that passage before, but boy, when you see Jesus in an open vision and he just reconfirms it, I didn't hear much more. That was my last class anyways, and I ran over to student housing where I lived. And I called my home church. I had to tell somebody. And the pastor wasn't in. And so I said, "Well, who is there?" I mean, I've just talked to anybody at that point. And so the youth pastor was there. And that was Dominic Russo. And I said, "Pastor Dominic, Pastor, Jesus just appeared to me." And you know, he didn't get excited at all. He said, "Yes." You know, ministers are used to people calling them up and saying real crazy stuff. So I guess he figured I'd gone over to the other side. And even though I was, you know, 41 already, he thought, well, she's gotten into that fringe group. And so I said, I told him what Jesus said, and there was silence. I said, "Are you still there?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Isn't that wonderful?" He said, "Oh, that's wonderful, Wanda." And that's where it came from. Wonderful. But that's a true story. That's a true story. And I have never forgotten it. I have never forgotten what it means. You see, that name Jesus has never lost its power. Songs are written about the name. Prayers are answered in that name. Woohoo! Hallelujah! I don't know about you, but I'm really getting excited about this prayer line. Okay. Sin and sickness are banished in that name. And we have that name. I cannot give you what I do not have, but I have the name of Jesus. Amen. And it's still powerful today. Tonight I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to do any, you know, fantastic somersaults or there's not going to be any fanfare, no drums, no trumpets blaring. See, that people get this idea from the movies, you know, that when something exciting happens, there's going to be a soundtrack. But when God does what he does, you might not hear a thing. I mean, you could, but it isn't going to be me you hear, you know, because I'm not singing. That's a miracle right there that I'm not singing. But I do believe that name will bring about a change, because it's never, never been withdrawn. Amen. When you come up here tonight and I lay my hands on you, I don't want you to be like some of the people in those meetings that I had, those outdoor meetings. I told you I pray quickly. I lay hands on people quickly. And usually I just say, "In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus." But sometimes when I really get going, I'll just say, "In the name, in the name, in the name." And some people would go up to our workers, you know, after the meeting was over, and they'd say, "You know, those people in the beginning of the line, they got in the name of Jesus, but all I got was in the name. Just, you know, so immature, so foolish. All I got was in the name. That's all you need. That's all you need. And I want to tell you something. These illustrations and these things I've been telling you tonight, they're true. I didn't make them up. They happened to me. Amen. And I wanted to share them with you because I want you to understand that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say this with me right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, when Wanda lays her hands on me tonight, your power will surge through my body and I will have a change. Either a miracle, which is instantaneous, or a healing, which is a process. Whatever I need. And I thank you in advance. In Jesus' name. Will you bow your heads with me for a moment, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have shown us who you are through your Son, Jesus. And you have shown us your will for us to be saved, to gain heaven and avoid hell, to walk in health, to be healed, to be miracled if a miracle is needed. Jesus said he only did what he saw you do. He only said what he heard you say. So I know, Lord, that you love these people here and that your word applies to them. Even if they're not saved, even if they're not a child of God, I know that they will receive because Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the healer. But oh, the blessings when you know that wonderful Jesus as your personal friend, as your Savior and Lord. And so tonight, with nobody looking around, unless you're supposed to be looking around, I want to give you a chance to receive this wonderful Jesus as a personal friend, as a personal companion through the rest of your life. I want you to leave here, not just healed or miracled, but I want you to leave here a new creation through Christ Jesus. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of sin. I waited 39 years before I realized, before I came to know the love of God in my life. Don't wait. Make Jesus your Lord tonight. If you're here and you're not sure you're right with God, I want you to have that peace. I want you to have that assurance. I want you to have this covenant. Would you just lift your hand and say, Wanda, that's me. Pray for me. I need Jesus tonight. I see two hands back there, three. Anybody else? I can't see, but I see they're pointing. Raise it high. Thank you. I see it. Don't be ashamed. Say, that's me. I need Jesus. And I'm not. God bless you over here. Thank you. You can put your hands on. Three more hands over here. Anybody else? I want to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to be a child of Almighty God and to know that I have heaven as my eternal home. I'm going to look around one more time. If you didn't raise your hand yet, but you want to get in on this wonderful, wonderful relationship, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. I see another hand back there, a little tiny hand. That's okay. Jesus said, let the kids come. I see that hand back there. Anybody else? You can put your hand down now. Oh, thank you. I see a hand back there. Oh, hallelujah, church. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you would just look at me, please, everybody look at me. I understand that we have a procedure in the church that people are not coming down, but what I'd like to ask you to do is stand where you are, and we're all going to pray you into the kingdom because Jesus already made the way. If you raised your hand, just stand, and we're going to pray for you. You don't have to come down here. Come on, be bold. Stand up. Say, I need Jesus and I'm not ashamed. Stand up. There were people that raised their hand all over. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for saying, I need you. See, I realize it takes a lot of, you know, courage in a way to stand up in a group. Maybe you don't know anybody here. But it took a lot for him to get on that cross for you. But he didn't hesitate. So now you can be bold too, and you can stand up for him and say, I love you, Jesus. I want you in my heart. You may not love him yet, but you will in a minute. Let's all pray these people. You can stand or you can sit back down if you want. See, I want you to remember that it was real to you. This happened to you. And I want you to remember that even though you were kind of having butterflies, you stood up in front of all these people and said, I want Jesus in my life. Amen. That's a bold stand right there. Okay? You can sit down if you want to. Now let's all pray. Pray this prayer and we'll all pray with you. Father God, let's lift one hand to the Lord. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died for my sins. I believe He's alive. And so He offers His life to me. Eternal life and abundant life right here. Tonight, Lord Jesus, take my old life. Give me your new life. Teach me your word and your ways. And when this life is over, I know I'll spend eternity with you because you made the way. Thank you, Lord, that your blood washed away my sin. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.